I want to invite you to take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, and find verse 38 where we will begin reading together. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Would you stand in honor of God's Word as we read together from Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 38th verse. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary hath chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Now, the Scripture doesn't tell us that either Mary or Martha were mothers. We only have speculation to lean upon, and I don't think it really helps us a whole lot to do that. In this case, we just know a little bit about them. They were from a village. That much is told in the Gospel of Luke. It's other Gospels that tell us that village was Bethany, just a couple of miles outside the city of Jerusalem. Jesus would visit this city on occasion. Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus became close friends of Jesus. They were tied to him, and Jesus was deeply affectionate toward this family. There are in this story some revealing details. We don't know a lot about their background. We don't know much about them personally. But we're given a little snapshot into two sisters, two women. And it doesn't matter if you're a female or a male, if you are a mother, a grandmother, an aunt, a cousin, or none of the above. I don't know many of you that wouldn't fit into the male or female category. There's something here for all of us. I'm calling this a tale of two women. And within this story, we see three situations, three events, on which these two women diverge. It is their differences that this story is all about. At first, we see that they had two different objectives. Mary's objective, it seems, was to sit at Jesus' feet. Martha's was to serve. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus, upon entering this village of Bethany, was invited into the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It appears that Martha had invited him because she is the one who received him into their home. Now, Jesus was an up-and-coming rabbi whose popularity was growing, and there is no question that his persona was somewhat attractive. People wanted to be around him. And it must have been a great favor to these three to have Jesus visit their home. It's been my privilege, along with my wife's, over the course of years to be invited to people's homes. And no matter how much it meant to those people, it meant even more to me and Ruth, because we understand that it is almost a sacred thing to open one's home to somebody else. Whenever people invite us to stay with them when we're going from out of town somewhere. We tend to shy away from that because it is so much trouble. Not for us, but for the person who's hosting. We want to make sure that things are dusted, things are put in their place. We don't want dirty dishes piled up on the drain board for people to see, even though that may be the way we live. So it can be a lot of trouble. And Martha, no doubt, took this service very seriously. In fact, the Bible says she was busy serving. The word there for serving is the word diakonia. It's the word we get the word deacon from, and it means simply to serve. It literally means a table waiter, someone who waits on tables. That's the kind of service that Martha was doing. They had differing objectives. Martha was busy making certain that things were well in her home in order that the Lord Jesus would feel welcome and that she would look prepared. Mary, on the other hand, did not care, was not distracted, was not detained by the matters of housekeeping. She had her focus and her objective on soaking up the words of Jesus. Keep that in mind. Make no mistake, there's nothing wrong with service or labor, hard work. I would never, ever condemn those things. They are worthy. Nor would I condemn the service that people do at church that is sometimes busy work. We have so many things around this building that we do, a lot of housekeeping, a lot of chores around the church that are being done. And I don't mean just picking up and cleaning up, but committee work and search work that's going on right now. All of these things are good, but have you ever considered that they could be a distraction from the very most important thing that we can do with our life, which is serve the Lord? Which doesn't mean handing things out on His behalf or doing on His behalf. It means sitting down and serving Him with our attention, giving Him our focus. I really don't know what Jesus was saying to Mary. Nobody knows. But if you follow the story along, you will discover, as you trace this through the Gospels, that Mary of Bethany was aware of certain things that other people weren't. I've concluded, as have many other scholars, that is because she was paying attention and listening to what Jesus had to say to her. So it's a tale of two women and a tale of two objectives. It is also a tale of two connections. You see, both of these women would develop over the course of their experience with Jesus different kinds of relationships with Him. Obviously, Martha had a relationship with Jesus that instigated or began in her desire to serve Him, in her desire to take care of Him. If you follow this along through the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, you'll find that the week before Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, He makes a stop in Bethany. In John's Gospel, it is the pivotal story in the Gospel. It literally takes a turn at this point. Because you see, Jesus had heard that Lazarus had died, His dear friend. Mary and Martha had sent word to Jesus. And instead of hastily going to Bethany, He takes His time, and in that time, Lazarus dies. Both of the sisters are distraught about Jesus not being there, but Martha the most. When she says, "If you had been here, he'd not have died." You see, they had two different relationships. The connection between these women and the Lord was different. The connection between Martha and Jesus was based on serving, and it was based upon a desire for reciprocal service. She wanted him to serve her, perhaps because she had served him. But Mary's relationship with Jesus was a different connection. It was literally a soul connection, because all she could do was absorb the things that he was saying, because they were to her service. They were to her the food that she needed for daily existence, for motivation, for inspiration, for the strength of life. And the result was, when times were tough, she had his word to feed on and to rely on for strength. You know, it is important that we take care of our personal obligations, our personal duties. It's important that we be reliable, dependable. But it is more important that we are fed by the power and the nourishment of the words of our Savior than it is that we cross every T and dot every I. So what if Martha had failed to appoint the table as needed, where the knife was pointing out instead of in, where the fork was on the right instead of the left, and they probably didn't use those at all? So what if the biscuits had burned? Would it have mattered? In retrospect, the issue was not what they had served him, but that he had been in their home and he had served them with his word. The tale of two women who had two objectives and two connections. And it's a tale of two women who had two emotions. You see, they diverged in their emotional connection with Jesus, but more than that, they diverged in their emotional exposure before Jesus. Think of Martha. She's busy. She's serving. I don't know the details. None of us do. But she is obviously stressed out about this service. In fact, the scripture, Jesus says just that. He says, "You are anxious and distressed." You are literally upside down because of this serving that you're doing. And the proof of it was that Martha confronts Jesus again, expecting him to serve her because she had served him. She felt like this was a tit-for-tat relationship. And when that relationship did not bear out as she desired, she blows up. "Make her come and help me." Calm down, Martha. Just calm down. And then on the other hand, look at Mary. She doesn't even know what time it is. Does anybody really know what time it is? Chicago asked that question in the 70s. In 25 or 6 to 4. Who knows? And who cares what time it is when Jesus is speaking, when Jesus is present? Does your agenda, does your life have such rigidity to it? Do your objectives and your aims and your expectations have such strictness to it that if it's not followed, if it's not kept, if it's not fulfilled, you come apart? Not Mary. And why, we don't know. We could psychoanalyze her. We could psychoanalyze Martha. We might say, well, the trouble is Martha had a low self-esteem, and she gained self-esteem from both serving others, but more importantly, from gaining their approval and their attention. We could say that. That's pointless. Or we could say she had a type A personality. She just was a go-getter. She was that kind of person. She was the one who was going to see a job that needed to be done, and she was going to get that job done. Again, that's pointless. Because we couldn't say the opposite about Mary. We don't know enough about either. And in the end, it really doesn't matter what her personality type was. Nor does it matter whether or not she suffered from self-esteem issues. What mattered is she missed the greatest opportunity that could have been afforded to anyone, but Mary didn't miss it. And for that, Jesus said, it will not be taken away from her. What was he saying to her? One can only guess. But I think we can guess with some degree of probability. Because again, over in the 12th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus goes ahead and he raises Lazarus from the dead in chapter 11. And just a few days later, en route through Bethany, headed to Jerusalem, just before that great day when he enters Jerusalem and they sing Hosanna, there is a private party at Mary and Martha's house. If you read the story, you'll read again that Martha was doing what Martha seemed to do. She's serving. That's her thing. She's busy. Their objective is to celebrate the resurrection of their brother and the power of this one who raised him from the dead. And there's Martha, serving. Nothing wrong with serving. It's just that sometimes it's time to take off the apron and take a knee, take a seat, and absorb what Jesus is and has to say. And on this occasion, Mary enters the room with a box. It's a box, as Scripture says, of alabaster. And she opens the box and she pours an ointment on Jesus, the fragrance of which fills the room. The drippings go off him. And she kneels before him and she swabs the ointment from his feet with her hair. This ointment cost 300 denarii, almost a full year of daily wages. And she had kept it for this moment. At this moment, she's anointing Jesus. When no one else seems to know the timetable, no one else seems to hear that Jesus is about to die, Mary of Bethany knows. And she has kept this ointment because he's going to need to have some perfume upon his body when he dies. But she can't contain herself. She thinks, what's the point of giving him this after he dies? And she anoints him while he's still alive. Who could have known that he was going to die? Martha could have, if she had listened like Mary had listened. It is of utmost importance that in the hurry and hustle of our lives, we take time to sit at our Master's feet, not to gain knowledge, not to find direction or receive instruction, but simply to adore Him. I don't care who you are, man, woman, child, doesn't matter. We are easily distracted. We come into a relationship with Christ. We call Him Lord. And then if we aren't careful, we assign Him a location on the bus that we are driving. You can have seat number one, but I'm in the driver's seat. We have somewhere to go with this bus, something to do. When I have time, I'll pay attention to you. But I have somewhere to go right now. Sunday comes along, we invite Him to the front of the bus. Where's Jesus in your life? Does He have your full attention? He deserves it. Let's pray.